This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The New Yorker Radio Hour is supported by the Sympathizer podcast from HBO. From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., The Sympathizer is the new HBO original limited series based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the same name. On the Sympathizer podcast, join host Philip Nguyen in conversation with the cast, crew, and author Viet Thanh Nguyen as they discuss the making of this historic series. Stream new episodes of HBO's The Sympathizer, Sundays exclusively on Max, and listen to The Sympathizer podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
For almost a decade now, pianist Robert Glasper has made a name for himself as a crossover musician, a guy with an absolute mastery of jazz technique who brings that to pop. He's recorded with some of the biggest names in soul and hip-hop and contemporary R&B. And in 2012, he won a Grammy in the R&B category for his record Black Radio. Earlier this year, he changed tack a little bit. He released an album of piano, bass and drums, old school jazz. It's called Covered. It includes recent songs by R&B and hip-hop musicians, people like Bilal and Kendrick Lamar, but also some of the most familiar standards in the jazz catalog, like this version of Stella by Starlight. Stella by Starlight's been recorded by I don't know how many musicians.
500 million. 800,000.
Is that the exact number?
Yeah.
Did you listen to all of them?
I listened to half of them. You know, about 250 million of them.
And and when you do that, do you say, do you back away, or do you have? Is there an idea in mind that you want to put forward on that?
My thing is, yeah, it's either you do it totally different or you don't do it at all. I try to put me in everything I do. Because if you're not putting you in it, then it's already been done. So what's the point?
And what's the you in it for the uninitiated?
What I naturally feel, I can't say, oh, well, if you put a hip-hop beat to it, it's me. Because everything about me isn't always hip-hop, you know. For this thing, it was the sound of my band. The best bands are the bands that have personalities on each instrument. You know, I write with those guys in mind, and I make arrangements with those guys in mind. So I leave a lot of, even when I arrange something, I leave it kind of open so they can interpret it their way. So then you have a actual sound of a band, not one guy dictating everything everybody else does.
In the hip-hop world, you're known to some extent as that jazz guy.
Right.
And yet you stand in relationship to jazz in a complicated way. A few years ago, you told Downbeat this, I've gotten bored with jazz to the point where I wouldn't mind something bad happening.
Right.
Slapping hurts, but at some point it'll wake you up. I feel like jazz needs a big-ass slap.
Totally.
Meaning what?
Meaning jazz, the jazz world a lot of times is on autopilot. A lot of the jazz world is very much stuck in history. Too engulfed with the 60s and the 50s and the 40s and all of our heroes, you know what I mean? But music has to keep living.
Do you think the jazz world has become a museum of itself?
Without a doubt. Easily. Without a doubt. You're getting a history lesson. This is how you swing. Now this is how you do this. The beauty about the music, it always evolved. You know what I mean? That's why when the 70s came around, you know, it started getting more electric because there were more electric instruments. So you keep getting influenced by what's around you at the time.
And yet when Miles Davis brought electronic instruments to the fore, he got a lot of guff for it, to say the least.
Totally.
Not everybody loved it.
Not everybody's a genius. Not everybody is a forward thinker. You know what I mean? So you're not going to please everyone off top because they don't know what you're doing at first. It's crazy to them.
Let's hear the first taste of Liftoff from Black Radio, which was the album that won you the R&B Grammy a couple of years ago.
Oh, yeah. Hello, world. Peace and love. I wish you the best. And now for the next. Coming to your mind, live and direct from the ethers. Now it's all in your speakers, down to your sneakers.
Do you ever think, or do you ever worry about hip-hop itself burning out in the same way that you were talking about jazz maybe becoming dangerously close to a museum of itself?
Not really, because it's such a young music. There's so many young artists, and the labels and the business of it all are pushing the young artist. That's what keeps hip-hop booming and keeps it alive, really. So I don't fear that it's going to die out anytime soon at all.
The new album is much more of a jazz album.
Yes.
Than Black Radio, Black Radio 2, much more. Other than producing beautiful music, do you have a mission here? Are you trying to guide people back into, younger people, into listening to not only your record, but Miles and Monk and Sonny Rollins and all the rest?
Somewhat is that. Somewhat is, it's just like, it's about Christian Scott and Marcus Strickland and Kenneth Whalum. Yeah, contemporaries, my friends. Miles doesn't have a problem with selling records. It's my contemporaries that are having the problem. So that's why I chose to do Jazz Trio, but do songs that people of my time today know. Kendrick Lamar, Jhené Aiko, Bilal, John Legend, Radiohead, you know, because those are people that, and albums and artists that are relevant now.
So Robert, to give people a sense of your latest album, maybe we can listen to a bit of one of the original pieces you were working from and then have you play something.
Sure.
Maybe the Bilal cut called Levels. Could you play your version for us? We've got a big old piano here in the studio.
Oh, I didn't even see that big old piano
look,
over there.
Look
that
at
big.
That.
What is that, Steinway?
That's something like that.
How convenient. Sure. Thank you.
That's beautiful, Robert.
Thank you.
You leave yourself room to improvise in the spaces.
Yes, yes, exactly. For me, you know, sometimes solos can take the song too far out of context. I feel like when it's needed for the music, I take a solo. But sometimes songs are so beautiful that you don't need that extra stuff in the middle. You kind of just play the song.
So you don't see these as vehicles. It's not like Coltrane playing My Favorite Things, which has a theme, it's repeated, and then it's 15 minutes of exploration of...
Right. Not this particular song and not this particular album, you know. But there are times where I do explore and really get in there.
Like, stretch out.
Like, yeah, exactly. There are times for that. But this particular album wasn't necessarily for that. It was built more for the person who just likes to listen to, you know, pop and R&B and hip-hop, that kind of vibe.
What do you like as a listener? You have it's a little bit of everything on this record. There's a Radiohead cut called Reckoner, hip-hop covers.
And Joni Mitchell, and yeah. You know, I grew up with so much music in my home. My mother was a singer. She'll do a Broadway gig one night, a jazz gig one night, a pop gig one night, a country gig, funk gig, and then she was the music director at church on Sundays. You know what I mean? So there was.
You grew up in Houston.
Yes.
And your mother was in what kind of church?
Baptist church. She was the director of the choir. She would take me to all the rehearsals and to church, and even to a lot of her gigs. I would be at her shows, you know, when I was like literally 2 years old. You know, I was on the main stage when I was 11 playing at church.
You got lessons, I assume?
Kind of. Every blue moon, but not really. Just kind of did it. I kind of, once I started playing, I kind of just went off on a tangent and just learned songs.
You had never had lessons in your life?
I took 6 months of classical lessons when I was in seventh grade. And then I took 1 year or 2 years of gospel lessons when I was in seventh and eighth grade.
Okay, hold the phone. After you just played that, you've never taken more than a year or two of lessons?
No.
Mothers at home are listening to this and crying. They have no way to convince their kids to sit there like I did for years.
But I was the only child, and all I did was play the piano. Once I started playing, that's what I loved to do. So my mother...
And you could play on the keyboard what you were hearing in your head?
Yes. I could play what I hear in my head, and I would love to learn songs off the radio.
I hate you.
You know?
Theory, too, you could just pick this up like nothing.
Theory, yes. And I got really good at theory once I went to the High School for Performing Arts in Houston.
Now, are you going to make a gospel record at some point?
Yes, I am going to make a gospel record. I'm putting it together in my mind now. I don't know when it's going to come out or when I'm actually going to do it, but I see it being done in the next year or two, for sure.
Now, before we leap off of the current album, I have to say that the covers are all over the place. There's a Joni Mitchell, a John Legend, and you cover a song by Kendrick Lamar, who may be the figure in hip-hop today. And you've worked with him a lot. And you've taken Dying of Thirst, one of his best-known, most political tracks, and made it your own.
Yes.
Dying of thirst, don't go in the corner, look at the coroner, daughter is dead, mother is mourning, straight bullets, AK bullets, resuscitation was waiting patiently, but they couldn't. And so you hear that, and you say to yourself, now I'm going to do my version.
This song just speaks to me. So what I did was I got my son and a few of his friends to just say the names of some of the people who were killed by the police in the last few years, you know.
Eric Garner.
And unfortunately, even since we recorded, there's been so many more, you know. It's unfortunate that I might have to do a part two.
Rakia Boyd. Ayanna Jones. Oscar Grant III.
Now, when you work with Kendrick Lamar, how does that collaboration?
It was really cool because I literally recorded that album the same night I recorded my album. Covered. Before I did my recording, Terrace Martin, a good friend of mine who is a producer on that album, called me and said, hey, when you finish your recording, can you run over here to Dr. Dre's recording? Kendrick's here. Want you to play on some stuff. And I was like, cool.
With no preparation, with no notion?
No, none. They played me the track they wanted me to play. I listened to it once or twice, and then I played it.
Was lucky you had a year and a half of lessons.
Yeah. So then after that, after I played that one track, Kendrick was like, oh, man, pull up so-and-so, pull up this track, pull up that track. So I literally sat down and played like 7 or 8 songs that night.
Robert, is it a problem as well as a gift in the music business to be someone who is trying all different kinds of things? Is it a commercial difficulty?
It can be because most people, when they do something, they do one thing and they do one thing well. You know what I mean? This is what I do and this is what it is. I play jazz. That's what I'm going to play and that's what it is. And
people, that's hard enough.
And that's hard enough and people put a label on you and you have to stay there. But, you know, I was blessed to be good at more than one thing. So why am I only going to do one thing? You know, and especially when we're talking about music that come from my people, like African-American music. We're talking about rock music. We're talking about hip-hop music. We're talking about jazz music. We're talking about blues. We're talking about gospel. And the list goes on and on. And all that music is in my blood. I don't see where it should be a problem or where it should be like a mystery.
Do you feel the music business is putting any demands on you, or do you live outside of that?
People try to put demands on me, but I'm trying to knock those down whether they like it or not.
And what are the demands? What do they want out of you?
Well, people want to keep you in a box. They want to keep you in the jazz box. So when you get out of that, it's like, what are you doing? Even the jazz community is like, hey, what are you doing? You're leaving us. You know, how dare you leave us? You know, it's like a crazy ex-wife or something. You're like, I'm not leaving. I'm going to the store. I'll be back. I'm not abandoning you, jazz. Chill out.
Robert Glasper, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Robert Glasper. This year he released the record Covered. He's on tour now, playing this week in Chicago. I'm David Remnick, and this is the New Yorker Radio Hour.